Good morning. It's 8:15 here on The Ticket, Monday morning with the Musers. What a morning here in the Metroplex, being hit by the winter storm. Most schools and businesses are closed. We will have a full report coming from the playmaker himself at 8:40. Michael Irvin's school closings update coming up here in 25 minutes. That's at 8:40. At 8:55, we'll review the Oscars, the big event last night on ABC. And right now, we're going to review the big event over the weekend at the Irvin Convention Center, Ticket Stock 2015, our 21st ticket stock. And this was one of the best ticket stocks ever. We don't always say that after an event, and we've had so many, and we've had a lot of great ones with incredible turnouts and performances and special guests. So I think it's hard to say it's the greatest, but it was certainly one of the best that we've ever had, and certainly one of the best we've had in a long time.
Yeah, and every year we always are just so appreciative of all the P1s that come out, say such nice things, take that much time out of their weekend just to hang out and listen to a bunch of ridiculous roundtables, the time wasters, or whatever they're there for. But mainly, you know, just to support us, we just appreciate that so much. But this year there were so many people out there. We had so many unusual and unique events like the Battle of the Paddle and like closing it down with the old 97s on Saturday night, that it really did set this ticket stock apart from any ticket stock that we've ever done.
So let's just take it all in chronological order. And on Friday, and I want to say this up front because I felt really, really bad. We've all kind of shared the Regonk flu, and I got hit hard with it on Friday. Like everyone else got it the week before or 2 weeks before. I got it at the worst possible time. And so I was sitting at home Friday afternoon, and I'm thinking, should I go? Or do I need to try to get healthy? Am I going to spread this to everybody? I don't want to get people sick.
Tough call.
But it's our biggest event of the year, so I thought, well, I've got a little fever, and I don't feel good at all, and my nose is running nonstop. But I can't miss ticket stock, so I went out there, and I did a couple round tables and then the Time Wasters show. And I felt really bad, and I just want to apologize to the P1s because one of my favorite things is to get out and talk to the P1s and walk around and see all the booths and see the faces, you know, P1s that have been coming to Ticket Stock for 20 years and catch up with everybody. And there were a lot of old friends there. But I made a decision that I wasn't going to spread the Regonk flu to everybody. And I hope everyone's okay with that. And I had promised last week to give every P1 a big hug. We talked about how hugs make you happier. And so my bit was going to be to hug all the P1s. So I owe everybody a hug. But I hope you understand that the reason that I didn't come out there was to not get everybody sick. And I hope I made the right call on
that. You
did.
Yeah, you did. And I think they understand that.
You should have worn a surgical mask up on stage, though.
Yes, because we have another victim.
We do?
Cat. He's got the Regonk flu.
Yeah, he just told us about that. I thought you meant like someone that shared my microphone got sick.
Oh, no. Well, not that I know of, but I know that you did have some interaction with Cat, and now he has the...
We gave Randy Johnson your headset.
All right, so Friday we had Cole Beasley on. We had...
He cut his hair. Right?
Yeah, I wasn't there for that roundtable, but I heard he was great.
He was great and endorsed the nickname of the squirrel.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good.
He didn't mind it. He said, okay, that's fine. I don't care. Any sort of nickname's good with me.
Surprised he hadn't heard it already.
Yeah.
He acted during like the season.
Yeah, but it's good.
We had the Dallas Stars were well represented out there on Friday. Jason Spezza and Jamie Benn, Antoine Roussel.
They were great.
Worked a lot of them into the round tables. We had Mike Ducey there, who was worked into some of the round tables. Barry Church was there on Saturday. And, of course, Randy Johnson, which we'll hear from momentarily. So Friday, things got off to a really good start. The crowd was fantastic. The estimate for the entire weekend at ticket stock, about 12,000 to 13,000.
Nice.
We had a couple of thousand there Friday night alone just for the ticket Time Wasters. This was the longest Time Wasters set that I can remember. It was 21 songs long, I think, for our 21st ticket stock.
Yeah.
It was a really long set, but the crowd seemed into it for almost the entire 2 hours. It was, I thought, one of our better Time Wasters performances.
I thought it was, too.
Yeah.
It was really strong, and I have a few selections from the Time Wasters. Well, let me interest you in a little bit of Mike Soroy and Norm. Norm was wearing a helmet, a space helmet, and I saw him backstage wearing this helmet. I was going, okay, it's finally happened. Norm has snapped. But it turns out they were performing Space Oddity. Space Oddity. David Bowie.
Yeah.
As Norm calls him, David Bowie. So here's a little bit of that.
Mike Soroy to Hitzkiss Norm.
Oh, Lord.
Mike Soroy to Hitzkiss Norm. Take your boner pills and put your headphones on.
One.
Mike Soroy to Hitzkiss Norm.
One. Zero.
Nine. Commencing sound down, red light on.
Seven.
I think that's
check
Jer.
The yes. Guest yeah. line may
special
Rick
guest
Goslin
appearance.
Be with you.
Uh oh.
This is Mike Soroy to Hitzkiss Norm.
Oh my God.
You made the Hall of Fame. And all the paper you've gone through, but you don't care.
Does Norm come in at some point?
Yeah, eventually he does, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, now I think, is Norm on stage at this point?
He was walking on stage.
Yeah, he sauntered slowly. It took him a while.
It's Norm to Mike Soroy.
Oh, Norm actually hit a low pitch there.
Uh-oh. And I'm speaking in a most peculiar way.
Okay.
All our teams look very terrible today. For here am I yelling at the callers. On the post-game show. First I'll introduce the crew.
Okay, so then that was a little bit of taste of that.
How great is that, though, that Norm yeah. is performing that?
Yes, that's while awesome. In a space helmet.
Yes.
All right, now, after the performance, everyone was analyzing everybody else. And, Gordo, you were really upset with your performance when you and George went out there and did the Jerry Reed song. You reworked the lyrics. But I'm standing on the side of the stage with Bill, the guitar player from the band, which, by the way, the backing band, the Petty
Boys, yeah,
they were incredible.
So awesome.
He said, wow, Gordon's really tearing it up on the guitar. He's gotten really good, so why were you so mad?
Well, I thought it
sounded great.
You know what, Junior? It was the worst on-stage experience I've ever had.
Really?
I got up and I froze. I could not remember the licks. I just... You know, it's a pretty technical song, and I had not really played like this live before, with this kind of finger picking. And I just froze up, and I couldn't remember which lick came next. And then Giorgio's fiddle was going through a distortion pedal.
Overmodulated.
And it was
but
just...
your picking was awesome, though. You may not have been happy with the performance, but it's pretty incredible how good you've become on... picking.
Yeah, well, from the perspective of the person in the audience, it was great.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to re-record this, Giorgio and I, a decent version of it. But here's a little bit of that.
You want to sing one, Giorgio?
Yeah.
Well, you read my damn taxes, destroyed health care too.
Yeah.
Question you always get is, hey, can I play through? That's not all right.
We were doing That's All Right, Obama.
I thought that was a big hit.
Yeah, I thought yours was a huge hit, Mysterious Ways, too. That was excellent. Junior was dressed in all leather and had the sunglasses on. And you had a lot of stage performance up there for someone who was sick.
Yeah, the whole thing's a fog to me. I was pouring sweat because I had a fever and wasn't sure if I was getting the lyrics right or if I sounded anywhere
didn't
near
didn't matter. You looked great.
You nailed it.
You had a dancer on stage. You had a female dancer. Mm-hmm. This was great. I think the two honorable mentions, though, go to, if not tied first place, I thought Mike and Donovan on Gold Digger was awesome.
Yeah, they were great.
Mike sounded great. And I thought Gen X Davey, who's part of our weekend programming here, his When in Rome song of Promise was just beautiful. His voice sounded wonderful.
Nailed it. Always love his 80s Bicurious song selection. It's
right.
Great.
And then Danny sang some drinking songs. Everyone loves that. It was a great show.
Yeah, so the Time Wasters show, we all had a blast. Hope the P1s enjoyed it. Then on Saturday, we had our headliner there, the big unit, Randy Johnson, 300-game winner, 4,800 strikeouts, 5 Cy Youngs. He's going into the Hall of Fame this summer. And he was a pretty interesting interview. He's an interesting guy because you really didn't hear him talk much during his playing career. But he does have some stories, and he told one story about a game that he pitched here in Arlington.
I'd struck out 18 in 8 innings, and I think I threw about 165 pitches, and I just remember as a young pitcher that Nolan was riding his stationary bike in the dugout watching me pitch. He was out after 6, and I was still pitching, and I also remember the fans here in Arlington. I'd had 18 strikeouts after 8, but I also had about 165, 170 pitches, but the fans... the home fans here were chanting for me to come back out.
Think about that. 160 plus pitches.
And I bet we didn't even know watching that game. Because back then, you didn't really keep up with pitch counts. I mean, it would occasionally be mentioned, but not much.
You know, is he Canadian?
I don't think so.
He has Tom Green voice.
He's from California.
He reminded me of somebody, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I think you're right.
His voice sounds just like Tom Green.
Yes.
I mean, it's a little bit lower than Tom Green's, but it has the same inflections.
You reminded me a little bit of a young Bill Walton.
Yeah,
I thought that about too. Mm-hmm. It's Tom Green and Bill Walton's love child.
So that was really cool. Hope the P1s enjoyed that interview, and the P1s also got autographs from Randy Johnson. And then at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, we had the much-anticipated Battle of the Paddle for charity. Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle against Mike Saroy in table tennis. And if you didn't get to listen to it, we're going to rebroadcast the entire match Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock here on The Ticket. But here is a little bit of what it sounded like.
Nice play, Saroy. Slam! Nice play, Carlisle!
Saroy with the slam.
That was the finest table tennis point I've ever seen.
That was his only slam. Kind of like Dirk in the All-Star game.
Undercut serve. Soft return. Again.
Slam, bam, jam, baby.
Coach is on the ropes.
It's 9-4, Coach Carlisle.
9-4.
Mike is telling him what's coming. Beautifully done. Saroy with a
9-5.
Down goes Coach.
Deep central. 9-5. Beautiful serve. And beautifully done.
Impressive, Coach.
It's win time, right?
Playing with his food.
You know, the crowd was great for this, and they played a best of 7. Rick Carlisle defeated Mike Saroy 4-1. It was pretty entertaining, and best of all, we raised a lot of money for each charity.
Yes, and we were getting close to $10,000 by the end of the day on Saturday, and I think you can still donate today at theticket.com and help out with that cause. And I think Carlisle, number one, it was so great of him to put up with this nonsense and do this.
Yep.
But I think when he got out there, he looked around and was stunned there were so many people there.
Yes.
It was packed.
I like that it got onto you, Giorgio. We were so concerned with Rick Carlisle being prickly, as they say.
Yeah.
And he messed up his charity, George.
I tried to confirm it right before we talked to him, but it is the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. I call it the Research Foundation. And so he told me, you just can't put a research foundation on the end of every charity.
God.
Yes, sir, Mr. Carlisle.
God, you felt the wrath of Rick Carlisle.
Unbelievable.
And I tried to avoid it.
I know.
I don't say who I tried to confirm it with, but I did try to confirm it with someone right before we came back on the air. And, I just got it jammed in my face.
I know it. It's not like you were trying to be rude or anything.
I wasn't trying to be.
Happened to mess that up.
You know what, though? I haven't seen Rick Carlisle smile more since winning the title in 2011, because as they're playing, and Saroy's dressed in all Wimbledon white and had a headband on and was sweating profusely.
By laser.
Yeah,
he said that he had taken some drugs, some club drugs before.
Yeah, Laser was there with him, part of his entourage, and Rick Carlisle brought his family with him. And throughout the play-by-play, as they're playing right in front of all of us, and there were about eight of us that had headsets on, we're all making comments and jokes and snarky. Carlisle was laughing at most of the stuff, most of the comments.
Really?
Yeah, he was having like a really good time, and I thought he would just be stone-faced the entire time and not laugh at any of our bits, but he was enjoying them.
See, I was instructed not to look directly at him, like it was an Ark of the Covenant opening kind of thing.
At one time, I said, you know, Saroy's done pretty well, except for the times when he hits it into the net and then hits it long, and Carlisle was about to serve, and he's looked over like, did you just really say that? It was great.
It was so much fun. That was a great event, and then the evening and the weekend wrapped up with the old 97s doing a free concert for the P1s. We had about 3,000 people there for that show, and they were fantastic.
It was unbelievable.
Awesome. Man, it was packed, and they were so high energy. Rhett is such a great front man and put on such a show for the P1s, and throughout he kept talking about you know, ticket references, like at some point he wants to do a duo with Norm with David Bowie songs, and it was great. They did Driver 8 as a part of their encore, and the place just went bananas. It was awesome.
Yeah, we all love them.
Nicest band in America.
And they're all big P1s, so they were pretty jacked up about playing ticket stock. They were really fired up about it, so it was a two-way love affair on Saturday night, and the best way to end ticket stock.
No doubt.
I'm telling you, Junior, I don't think there's any competition. This was the best ticket
stock. You think
so? Yeah, absolutely.
It may have been.
I do, too.
So thank you. Big, big thanks to the P1s who came out all weekend long. The best listeners in America, the most loyal listeners anywhere. Great to see everybody out there, and hope you had a good time. All right, 8:32 on the ticket. It's a big morning here in the Metroplex because the winter storm is upon us. We will get school closings from the Playmaker next.